You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Bible teacher and translator Dr. Paul Esposito and Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. Dr. Esposito is the translator of the English Majority Text, New Testament, as well as the Apostles' Bible, a modern English translation of the Greek Septuagint, Old Testament, both available through Amazon Publishing. And now here with today's broadcast is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today on this Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Praise God. We're wrapping up here this week. No better way to wrap it up, in my opinion, than to sit under the authority of the Word of God. Let's get the Word of God into us here today. I thank you for joining us here on this Friday. And this awesome church family of Island Community Church greets you today. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Friday here with me and here with us. We're in the book of Revelation today on WGOD. This is what we're doing. We're hearing the Sunday sermons. I'm in the book of Acts here at church. That's where I will be here this week. This week, we're going to look at Paul's testimony here coming up, and at Acts chapter 22. And on the radio, on the other days here, we're going through the book of Revelation, verse by verse. We're up to chapter 13. This is part two of the sermon that just started yesterday. It's entitled The Man of Sin. And we've been looking, well, we're building up our case here. We've looked at 1 John chapter 4. We look at the spirit of Antichrist that the Apostle John tells us has been around forever and is already in the world. We've looked at the Apostle Paul's take of it, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he calls the Antichrist, he calls him the man of sin. Then he calls him the same name that Jesus calls Judas, that is the son of perdition. Is that a coincidence? No, it's not, because this spirit's already in the world. You just got to connect the dots here. Book of Revelation is supernatural. What's going on in the world out here is supernatural. We've looked at Satan as the power behind all of the world kingdoms. Seven heads and ten horns. The Lord Jesus in John 14, John chapter 12, verse 30, he calls the devil the ruler of this world. We looked at the platform of, we looked at Satan's platform. We compared it to the platform of certain politicians that have run this country before. Now we're going to get into chapter 13, and that's where we're at today. Love to see you guys at church this weekend, Sunday morning at 10:30. Let's get into the Word now, Revelation chapter 13. So when you read that in someone else, it's the same symbol. You just understand who is behind the scenes, like the Godfather, pulling the strings on this guy. Satan is the power. Satan is the power behind the leaders of the nations, just like he is in the United States of America today. So don't even ponder that question anymore. Who's really running the country? You know, I hear that all the time. I read it on Twitter. I hear it on the news. Oh, who's really running the country? The Bible just told you Satan is the one that's running. He is the head of the nations. So the question is not, oh, it's not Joe Biden. Oh, it's this person. It's that. No, it's not. Your Bible tells you that Satan is the one that's running these countries. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Now, I read this on Friday from an English newspaper. It said, are Islamists in charge of Britain? No, they're not. Open up your Bible, for the love of Pete. I just said it. Islamists are not in charge of Britain. Satan is in charge of Britain. John 14:30. Also, it's in John chapter 12 somewhere. Jesus Christ calls Satan the ruler of this world. Then it should be of no surprise to you. The Apostle Paul, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, he calls him the God of this age. Or the King James Version says, the God of this world. The Bible calls the devil the God of this world. Why is it no surprise that he's running this country? Glad it's not Russia. From reading about everyone that they're poisoning around there lately, I'd be afraid to touch my doorknob. Should be afraid anyway to touch my doorknob. Look at what happens in this country when that gets threatened. Look at what happens in the United States when the power of Satan as the head of the country, look at what happens in this country when that gets threatened. Everyone know what I mean? You see it. You know, I think Donald Trump was an accident. Love him or hate him, it's not a question of the person. It's a question of that power went bye-bye for 4 years. And look at what happened as a result. Because Satan is the one that's in charge of this. Now, the Bible calls him that. The Lord Jesus calls him the ruler of this world. I'm just the preacher. I'm just sharing it with you that the leader of this country is not who you think that it is. It's someone much more diabolical than that. Now, here's your test. Here's your test to see who's in charge. Okay? Answer these questions and you'll see who's in charge. Satan's platform is this. Murdering babies in the womb or tomb. Now, remember, it's a person's choice. You have the freedom of choice to kill someone that's trying to dodge a spike. And has a heartbeat. It's your choice. I'm just showing you what the devil's platform is. And then you tell me who is the leader of this country. I'll just show you the evidence. You tell me. Murdering babies in the womb. Number two, the mutilation of children at a young age by surgically altering their sex that was designated to them by God. I'll tell you what, that certainly is not God's platform. Number three, rampant homosexuality, just like it was in Sodom. This is an absolute, hear me here, this is an absolute despicable sin. It was then and it is now, and it doesn't change because of devolution. We devolve, and then God seems so high and far away, he reaches out of your grasp. But he doesn't change, and the word of God does not change. So that's number three. Number four, hating Israel and hating Jews. Number five, I'll add another one to this. Number five, persecuting Christians. Persecuting Christians. So there's your proof. So now when you read the seven heads and ten horns, it's simple to understand. All you have to understand is Satan is the world ruler, and he's the ruler of this country, and his synagogue of Satan has its throne right down in Washington, D.C. Now, if you stand for those five things, and if you think those five things are good, then I'm here to tell you that Satan is your father. Not Darth Vader, but the devil himself. You could only wish that Darth Vader was your father. At least he repents at the end of his life. All right, here we go. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. But do you guys see the evil forces that are at work in this United States of America? Yes. Those things that I listed. I mean, everyone has a platform that they run on. That is Satan's platform. I don't ask you guys where you stand because you guys would have spit in my eye and left here a long time ago if you didn't agree with that. And if you agree with that platform, I'll tell you, you're not a Christian. I don't know, you're on the wrong team. If you side with that platform, you're not a Christian. I don't understand. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. How could you say you're a Christian and stand on this platform? How? Look, God has said before, he said it in the past, he said, everyone that's on the Lord's side, come with me. Now, Joshua said, choose this
day whom you will serve. It's your choice. I'm just showing you who the one is behind the scenes pulling the strings in the United States of America. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. Then I stood. All right, now this is John speaking when it says I. If your Bible says he, you might want to switch that and get a different Bible. If your Bible says he stood on the sand, I think that's incorrect. It should say I stood on the sand. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Okay, we know what this is now. We've spent plenty of time looking at this. This just means that Satan is in charge of this guy, that's all. Satan is the one pulling the strings. Beast, remember, understand the symbol, understand the book. The beast is Satan. So I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a dragon. All right, write down those animals. Leopard, bear, and lion. Leopard, bear, and lion. Remember those three. The dragon gave him his... We understood dragon last week, remember? That serpent of old called the devil and Satan. Understand the symbol. The dragon is the devil. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. All right, so the end of verse 2 gives us this connection. Again, as I said earlier, the dragon gives him his power, gives him his throne. He gives him this great authority, so it was his to give. Notice it's not Satan, but he's connected with him. He's Antichrist's boss. All right, now to understand what this means regarding the animals, we need to go back to the Old Testament. Let's turn, please, to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Last of the major prophets. Daniel chapter 7. Now, before we start, let me tell you what it means. These animals represent world kingdoms as it relates to Israel. Because Israel is the focal point of time and history. Because it is. Sorry, England. Sorry, Harvard. But it is what it is. Don't let satanically inspired progressives destroy this fact for you. Israel, that's I-S-R-A-E-L, Israel. Everyone good with that? World rulers, as it relates to Israel, because Israel is the focal point of time and history. Now, Daniel chapter 7. Remember the animals, leopard, bear, and a lion. Leopard, bear, and a lion. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now, in the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea. All right, remember chapter 13, verse 1. Remember, he was standing on the beach, saw something come out of the sea. Likewise, here. The four winds were stirring up the sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth, made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Suddenly another beast, the second, like a bear. It was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. All right, so far we've got a lion and a bear. Sound familiar? All we need is a tiger. Oh my. Verse 6. Now after this, I looked and there was another, a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads and dominion was given to it. All right, 3 for 3. Those three represented Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, Persia, which is modern-day Iran, and the leopard, which is modern-day Greece. Number 4 is going to be the Roman Empire, verse 7. Just hadn't happened yet. at least in his time. This book was written 400 years before Rome. Now, after this, this is verse 7. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring and breaking in pieces and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. There we go again. Catch the link. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little horn, coming up from among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. You know, I used to wear one of these when I was a teenager. Remember? Right. It was called the Italian horn. Do you remember those? This is where that comes from. Out of this Roman Empire is going to come another horn, this little horn. So again, verse 8, and then let's look at verse 9, and let's look and see at who takes this guy out. As I was considering the horns, there was another horn, a little one, coming up from among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots, and there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. Verse 9, now I watched until thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days, one of my favorite names for God, the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow. The hair of his head was like pure wool. But can't you just picture this? The hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame. Its wheels a burning fire. How cool is that? He's got some Krager SS mag wheels on his throne, Rick. He's got wheels on his throne. Its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. There you have it. World History 101 right there. So now you know the significance regarding these animals here in chapter 13. Now, back to Revelation 13. Again, back to verse 2. Now, the beast that you saw was like a leopard, his feet like the feet of a bear. Now, again, this is just showing you, as Pastor Darren would like to say, if you ever ask him, he thinks that Daniel and John are seeing the same thing going on at the same time. That's why these are the same animals that we're seeing. He's seeing perhaps this very same thing that John sees, hence the same animals. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all of the world marveled and followed the beast. All right, so it looks like something is going to happen to this man of sin. It looks like perhaps he is going to die. And he's going to be healed. And he's going to come back to life again. And when he's healed, everyone's going to fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. Look at that again, verse 3. I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. His deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So again, this is a person. No one's going to marvel because Venezuela is a country again, or Spain or France. This is a person. And this has to be relevant to those that are alive at the time. If you're alive at the time, then you'll understand it more and more better than we do here now. Now, as a result, verse 4. So they worshiped the dragon. I would say to that probably unwittingly. They worship the dragon today, don't they? If abortion is your reason for living, you worship the dragon. If that's your platform, if your entire life and platform is for the preaching and the support of abortion, you are worshiping. You're worshiping the dragon. I'm here to tell you today who you're serving. You're not serving God. You're serving the enemy. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Verse 5, and he was given a mouth. It's just like a politician, right? He was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. There's that number again, 3.5 years. Remember Daniel 7:8, which we just looked at a minute ago. He said, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up from among them. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. So you got a mouth speaking great things here and a mouth speaking pompous words here. He's seeing the same thing. He's seeing the same thing that John did. Verse 5 tells us the man of sin has authority for 3.5 years. Verse 6, then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Boy, that's odd, isn't it? To blaspheme those that dwell in heaven. I mean, how would that look like? Who would do that? You see him shaking. I hate all those people up there in heaven. Who says that? Reminds me of Scooby-Doo. If it weren't for you meddling kids, right? Who shakes his angry fist at people up in heaven? Verse 7. It was granted to him to make war with the saints. Uh-oh. You're still here. You are the saints. Oh, Lord, please send that trial again my way that I failed last week and the week before and the week before and the week before. Oh, boy, you certainly would be praying that prayer about now. What are you made of, brother? What are you made of? It was granted to him to make war with the saints. I'll have to whisper this next part of this. It says, and to overcome. All right, I have one on the radio to hear that. And to overcome them. But you overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And you love Jesus more than you love yourself. That's the only way to get through this. To have your name in the book, to have your sins obliterated by his blood, to put a hand down and another one that says, I believe in him more than I fear you. And John 12, 25, those who love their lives will lose it, and those who hate their lives will keep it unto life eternal. That's the only, yeah, this is designed to cause you to fear. That's what it set out to do, for you to realize, hey, I can't do this on my own. I need help. I need help. Enter Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who says, I'll help you. I'll help you. All you gotta do is reach out to me. I am the light of the world. All who follow after me will not walk in darkness. That's all you got to do. Call on the name of the Lord. Otherwise, you can't get through this. You can't get through this. It was granted to the Antichrist to make war with the saints. Now, a lot of the rapture boys say, oh, he's not talking to you. You're gone already. He's talking to Jews. All I know is that you and I are saints. If God is the principal, we're the students, the tribulation is the final exam. If God chooses to say, recess, come on up, that's his prerogative. My prerogative, what's required of me, is to trust God in the face of adversity. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation, meaning he's a world ruler. And our last point, verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Now, thank God there's a comma right there. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, comma, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So all the unbelievers and the fallen away apostates who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life. If you are not a Christ follower when the man of sin is in power, you will bow the knee to him and you will call him Lord. I promise you that. If you are not a Christ follower when this man of sin is in power, if you don't call him Lord today when there's no pressure on you, you won't do it tomorrow when there is pressure on you. Because Satan says about you, he says, all that a man has, he will give for his life. And he's got man pegged pretty well until you prove him wrong. Back to where we started this morning regarding the man of sin. Remember, he sits as God in God's house, showing himself that he is God. Don't be deceived. Verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Meaning, if being a Christ follower is not in your future, then you will blow me off and you'll call me a fool, or you'll call me perhaps something much worse. But if you are a Christ follower, then you're building your dossier here right now. Like Mitt Romney's binder, you'll have your very own binder of your own right here, full of truth and full of tomorrow's news. But no one understands that all who dwell on the earth will worship the man of sin whose names are not written in the book of life. Is your name in the book? That's my question to you this morning. Is your name in the book of life today? We're not going to leave here today until I ask this question to you. Those that are watching here on YouTube, those that are listening on the radio, hear me today. All that dwell on the earth will worship the man of sin if your name is not in the book. Even those of you that don't give a rip about religion or Christianity or think it's a crutch for weak people, all that dwell on the earth will bow the knee to this man. Is your name in the book? Let's pray. Lord, your word has had its desired effect. I am intimidated and fear this happening to me. I don't want this to happen to me. I do believe you. I do believe in you. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I call on you, Lord. It's written in your word, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's what's required of all of you here that hear my voice. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth you believe Jesus Christ is Lord. And you, as the Lord said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, we exalt you now, Lord, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Esposito from Merritt Island, Florida. To contact Pastor Paul, write to him at elected77@gmail.com. The church's website is islandcommunitychurch.net. The videos of Pastor Paul's sermons are available on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Thank you.